tonight, new reel, beginning off the visit with Gorman Etheridge this Friday afternoon, the 5th of March, 1971. Channel 1 right. And the beginning of the visit with Gorman this Friday afternoon, the 5th of March, 1971. Channel 1 right, a new reel, and beginning with visit with Gorman this Friday afternoon, the 5th of March, 1971. It's Channel 1 right, a new reel, beginning the visit with Gorman this Friday afternoon, the 5th of March, 1971.
Can you get some more of this, sir?
Well,
anybody else?
Yeah. Slam that old door, too.
That's hot. That's hot. Yeah. Chin, are you cold?
No. No, leave it open.
That doesn't matter. That's
okay, leave it open.
Jackie?
Yeah.
Fresh air, Pete.
Me too. You know, I'll go out and feed the animals and come in and, you know, open all the windows and somebody else hasn't been out to see them. It makes a difference. Just take me a second. I just want to...
Don't you worry about it. I didn't look out too early. This is your mother's chair now.
Well, no, that's yours.
That's mine.
I mean, that's what you're going to sit in.
Well, good afternoon.
Her chair.
Move this chair in here because this is the most uncomfortable chair in the world. Is that little straight thing right over there. Mother said she wouldn't ask a flea to sit in that chair.
And you had to fix her up, didn't
so
you?
So that's the chair that's going to sit right here for anybody
See?
That comes in.
I'm hungry.
I know it.
You got a little hand on?
Yes, sir.
You ain't been doing this. I need aren't you food?
Well,
that's that gold bricky.
Worrying.
What are you worrying about?
That takes food.
What are you worrying about?
Well, you know, when a fella starts out, he don't have to look for something to worry about.
I was just wondering if you was borrowing trouble like my poor mama used to do. She worried about more things that never happened. See, we was going off to pick bears. Now you young ones look for snakes. We was going bear picking. We wasn't going snake hunting. You worry about too many things that never happen.
Yeah.
I'm bad at that.
Gorman says it's too hot in here.
Close
that door.
Close the. I know it is warming up.
I just wondered if she was cold in that room.
It's been cold out here.
Yeah, it was cold this morning. What as cold as they said it was going to be.
You know, the first I ever realized I worried, hadn't been long, and I was talking to this old color woman, she's 93 years old, in her 93 years, she said, and she says, Mr. Miles, you worry too much. And I said, Liza, I don't worry, I'm just cussing. But you know, I wasn't really.
You was worried.
Yeah.
She knew it. She could sense it. You know, that's one thing about the Negro people and the ignorant. I say ignorant, I'm going to say illiterate people. People, superstitious people. You know, we are all, mankind has a certain amount of superstition in him. And the more illiterate and ignorant you are, the more superstitions you have in you. Now, don't sit up there and say, well, I've got a college degree, and I've been associated with the educational system, and I've read this and that. Don't you tell me you don't have a certain amount of superstition in you. That's something we are born with. Animals are born with an instinct. You know, man does not have an instinct. He has a certain amount of superstition he's picked up along the road.
Yeah.
So, these older Negroes, they have a certain amount of superstition, more so than we realize.
I know they enjoy it.
They enjoy that, too.
Yeah,
that is so right. So, they have resigned to the fact that I don't have a whole lot to lose but my life. And why should I worry about tomorrow?
Yeah.
When I don't have a promise of tomorrow anyway. Like we was talking here the other day, and we was talking about, and this old saying has, I've heard it all my life, You'd be a Negro one side, one weekend, you'd never want to be white again.
Yeah.
But they really have no worries or no troubles. But that isn't true. The Negro has been suppressed, not only in this country, but in all countries, even in South Africa, where he is the majority. He's still a suppressed people. That's why you get your spirituals and your sad music and your blues.
He's suppressed even in the Negro Republic.
That's what I said, in South Africa, where he is the dominant race, he's suppressed.
Well, no, I mean where it's a Negro Republic.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. You know, there's a couple of South African republics where the white is real minority. The situation is reversed. The Negro... Well, Cambodia, for example, you know, it's owned and controlled by Negroes. There's a few white English there, but the whites still rule it, in essence. Because that is still dominate the thinking. However, they have a Negro government, but they're still suppressed even there.
The Negroes suppress the Negroes.
We got to go a long ways back to understand why they're suppressed.
Yeah.
You take your yellow people, they're suppressed. What we call the yellow race, so that is the Oriental. Yet there's more, the Indian people, they're suppressed. And there's more of those, I believe, than any other color. I believe,
I'm going to
get
that,
sir, just take your time. What is the country of India, if it didn't have such a high death rate, they add to their population every year another United States.
Yes.
They didn't die out.
Yes.
Yet they are superstition, they're starving, with cattle roaming the streets. You can't butcher one. The sacred cow, you know, you heard of the holy cow. Well, that's where the expression came from. No sacred cows of India.
I guess so.
Holy cow. So we have to study, when we start studying civilizations of the world, from the ancient times on up to today. Well, you start tracing a lineage or a tree back from the very top branch. So we'd start studying, say, from today back to its origin. And we have to then find why those people were suppressed. Why they're suppressed. Why they war among themselves. The Arabs and the Indians. And if you notice, all civilization...
They were the ones who sold the niggas as slaves to the...
Oh, yeah, the slave traders.
Yeah.
And one of the... What was that Englishman? Not Englishman, but he went to England. He was a slave trader. He was selling a slave. And he got converted.
Yeah.
And he wrote a song. This is little known history. One of the Negro spiritualists sang that the other night on Mahavia Jackson. And I want to hear this one. It's coming back. But Pearl Bailey's ruining herself. She's gone highbrow. One of the sweetest voices I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But she won't sing her old style. I'd like to hear. But this man, I can't think of his name. I don't remember it. But he, after his conversion and he quit selling the slave, he wrote the spiritual song, Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
Well, that's that old. We don't realize it, but it's that old.
Yeah.
And,
19th century.
Beyond the 18th century, I would think. Might have been the 19th century.
Really?
I've forgotten to say history dates. Eras do, but a pinpoint of a date don't appeal to me too much, and I don't remember it too well. As I say, we have a tendency to forget things we're not too concerned about or too interested in. And dates never did. But
that little old cup don't hold much.
Yeah, that holds plenty.
Let me get a white.
Now, wait a minute, and I drank coffee. Let's see, I drank 4 cups in the morning. Then I had to, and Bud Gideon come by, and we all went to the coffee shop. And then when I went out to See, I went down and picked Clyde up at Brazington. He delivered his car to be worked on, just
oh.
where he ended. In.
So oh, don't tell me.
Yeah, it's come in yesterday.
Yeah.
That long-awaited rear end.
And he can't do it himself.
Well, he could, but see, it's on the warranty. And,
oh.
If he put it in himself, that would nullify his warranty, see.
He don't have to.
No, he don't have to, but the big thing, he wouldn't mind it. But if unless the factory train of a shop mechanic puts it in, does
can
the work.
Can you see
that
gentleman on the stand there?
Which gentleman is that?
See him there? Ain't he handsome? Can't you see him on the stand?
Oh, that red bird? Yeah.
No,
I
not it. The red bird. Back of him.
Oh, the blackbird.
That's a mockingbird.
Oh, the mockingbird. Oh, yeah.
Now, he's the stateliest bird we've got. I mean, he has composure.
How about the blue jay? That's the one, the cocky blue jay. Little aggravating thing. But they're so cocky. Little squirrel.
He's an actor.
I can tell you was never raised on a farm.
No, but that's biscuit.
I can tell.
Well, her small biscuit.
Yeah.
Oh,
can't
yeah.
Can't quite get them up there, can she?
Yeah, well, that's...
Now, she's been trying to make them big,
don't those are town biscuits. I don't mean there's nothing wrong with the biscuit. It tastes good.
It just
these,
ain't a country biscuit.
Yeah, well, the country biscuit's up about that size.
I'll
yeah.
make you some country biscuits.
Now, well, no. Why don't you do like everybody else? Get them out of a can.
They ain't good that way.
No, not as good, but ain't convenient.
You don't know, though. You say, once you're a nigger from Friday
that's
night to Sunday, you would never want to be a white man. Now you don't know how that works out.
I don't agree with that, no.
Well,
I just say that's an old.
But I mean,
veteran.
You don't know how it works out. You haven't seen any niggas.
You haven't seen anybody white people that's been niggers
and
vice versa.
No. Have you seen them enjoying themselves?
Oh yeah,
Now that's what I want to
see. Doc, you forget. I was raised in a sawmill thing. Oh, we used to sit around and listen to nigger juke. The music, I enjoy nigger music.
We've
actually went down to the juke, danced to it.
Yeah.
The niggers, of course, back then, they would sit down and invite us in. Us white kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. In school, I was in grade school. In high school, I've been in camps when there'd be over 200 niggers and just my father and I, the only white people in it.
Now that.
I don't be shooting a bird.
He just scared.
If I didn't get those,
they ain't done nothing to you.
Blackbirds off, there wouldn't be anything left.
They need to eat too. Put enough out of them all.
No, it wouldn't work that way.
They eat down shit.
There'd just be more blackbirds.
Be more blackbirds. You like that fellow talked about the Ains? He says, had one Ains come, and he died. And 10 million comes to his funeral.
That's good.
But I want to see just one of those colored people that you saw. Just show me one.
With what now?
If you saw at sawmill, who is making the most of it, or getting a bad end, however you want to say it.
Well, now, sometimes you misconstrue or misunderstand the things I say. I said the Negro people as a whole are suppressed.
Well, I'm trying to get away from the whole.
Because I want to pick an individual.
Yeah.
In other words, you
now
want
you
to see a
that
tree.
Gentleman?
Uh-huh.
Oh, look at him.
Yeah. That's the Oriole. The red bird.
No,
oh,
look at
the
Oriole.
See?
Yeah, that's a red bird. Oriole. That's what a red bird is.
He's fine.
See that cocky crown?
Hey, these biscuits better warm.
Mm-hmm.
I've been sitting here eating them cold.
Well, you all know better than that.
You're not going to shop none of this, sir?
Huh?
You're not going to shop none of this, sir?
All right,
just now. Well, you ain't shopping none of it. You ain't nothing gone. Unless you've been doing like the janitor used to do, my dentist buddy. When I was out in Milton. office at one end of the hall and my dentist buddy's office in the other end of the hall.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I couldn't keep no booze up there in the government office. From Dr. Bud would keep it down there in here. After we'd knock off every day, we'd have some big drinks. But Janice found it. Come in, clean up. He got the way he's nipping it pretty well. Well, our whiskey wasn't lasting long. Yeah, it was getting kind of hard to get long in. Good stuff was. During World War II. Well, he didn't know how to break him, didn't want to lose the janitor, you know, because that's hard to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard, really. Well, what he'd do, he'd drink him so much whiskey and he'd feed it back up the water, he'd mark it on the label. I'm kind of ignorant, but he would see his pencil mark on the label, see, but he'd always bring it back to that mark. And I let whiskey just get weaker and weaker. Well, boy, that was a bottle of Jack Daniels. I'm going to run in some of that. We noticed it'd get a little weaker. Well, we got, when we take a drink out of it, we'd bring it back till we hid that. Because that was our special stuff, talk about it in front of you. Never done well, it was no fun. But when we take a big drink out of it, we drank down pretty good, and then we got down and filled it back up with that cat. He kept hitting that pretty well, and pretty soon we didn't bother our whiskey no more. He took a couple of days off sick with you.
What did that do to him?
Epicac is a pretty strong cathartic.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is.
Epicac. Seemed like I used to take that.
That's old timey stuff. I didn't know nothing about it. Dr. Bud's the one.
Now, let me tell you.
Come up for them.
No, I missed out the first part of this. This was back about World War II?
Yeah. That's right. I was in the little town of Milton, Florida.
That's way over there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's West Florida. Just this side of Pensacola.
Well, what the hell are you doing way over there?
I was over the federal government with the Farmers Home Administration.
Oh, you didn't stay in Levy County?
No, when I left school, I went to Chiplet. I worked there 2 years as an assistant supervisor.
Oh, yeah.
I got promoted to full supervisor.
Yeah. They couldn't find nobody else.
Couldn't find nobody else. Help was hard to get.
Yeah, help was hard to get.
Yeah, well, it's hard to get there. Drafting them all.
Well, now, was this in a law office or a doctor?
No, I said the doctor's office was down the hall from mine. We occupied an office building, the upstairs of an office building.
And this was down at the doctor's office.
You know where we had to kept the liquor here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't hide it up in my office, the government office. See, so.
Well, that was just a little old town, right, at Milton?
Milton was about 3,000.
Well, that's a pretty good size.
Mm-hmm. I had 1, 2, 3. I had 4 big rooms. Dr. Bud had his waiting room. Just no average dental office, you know. Just one dentist. Had his 2 waiting rooms and then his back room and his supply room.
Yeah. Well, now, that was back when he knew all his patients, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, knew them all.
Yeah.
And everybody knew him.
Yeah.
He was a good dentist.
Yeah.
Like one fella come in one time, his teeth was hurting. And I said, Buddy, says his damn teeth, I can't wear them. Yeah, I said, where in the hell are they? So, by God, I didn't make them for back there. I made them for your damn mouth.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the kind of...
The kind of people.
That makes me homesick.
What's the homesick, huh?
I wish I had found me a dentist who would talk like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's where it still is. Everybody knows what's that.
Yeah.
One thing wrong. Everybody's down. I know everybody's down there. The hell of it is, they know me. And that's what galled me.
Yeah.
I can't hide a thing.
Yeah, they can tell beforehand what's
going to
happen.
Well, they know everything's done, Pat, right?
Yeah.
And you try to run your big mouth, you see, and brag on yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you look up and there's one of them skunks listening, and he already knows ain't nothing until you start with it. He'll expose you.
Yeah, with a little smile on his face or something.
And he'll join the crowd, see.
Yeah, and now you've got to talk through him.
No, you just hush, because he's going to start talking. He reminds me of this old nigger that was going up. Well, they had him for Stealing Hall. He was worried. They can go to trial. The Lord says, well, Erastus, just quit worrying. You're going to get justice. He said, my God, that's what's worrying me. That's what's worrying.
Now, that's happened a lot of times.
Yeah. He don't want justice.
He wants to go home. Gorman, a man got to talk big now and then, hadn't he?
Well, about what he used to do, you know, how all the lady killer he was, how tough he was, and all that.
It's safer to talk about what you used to do.
That's right. That's right.
But you couldn't get away with it back there.
Everybody knew you, see.
Yeah.
They knew you. It's like when I first went out to Chipley, as I say, had a big joke there at Cottondale. We all went to the nightclub, they called it a joke. Webster Williams, my club, he called. Oh, where's the fire? We'd sat around there, you know, in Dry County, Jackson County, just over in Jackson County. Whiskey was illegal. Webster sold it there. We buy a bottle, set it on the table. See?
Well, that's where it was dry when I came down.
Yeah, yeah.
They had to come down here and beat it.
Come down here to Ruby's. Henry Smith's. Oh, that Lonnie Cruz's old place. But Webster sold it right there at this place. We get tanked up there with that booze and start talking big, talking about how tough it was, you know. And she called me a boy. And, you know, some of them gals and boys kind of halfway respected. They kind of believed it. Well, I had a state meeting here in Gainesville.
Yeah.
My county supervisor, old Bob Milton, you might have heard of his brother. He's been superintendent of school for years out there, John Deacon Milton. Well, they come to the meeting. I'm trying not to go down home and see my folks while I'm here. Well, rode in Bob's car. So he takes me down there and he just mills around the town. Well, now I've got to stop right here and tell another story because it all goes together.
Okay.
Back when I was in high school, there's a cripple boy named Frank Mills in the school. Frank drove a cab up here for years. If you ever rode in a cab, you probably seen old cripple Frank driving that cab. But Frank is mean and tough. He gets you in trouble. Well, we had a history teacher. That's kind of tough. He's a good man. Dr. Harrison. He was a PhD too. But he's teaching in the rural school for some reason. But anyway, he wanted us to do our job. I didn't care who young he was, he wanted to get great. Plus, Harrison was a good man. He had a habit of things like that. Well, we'd read him a little bit. And he'd get away with him. He wasn't from around there. So he could kind of shock him a little. I was back there picking at some little gal sitting up front of me. And he caught me at it, and so he up and asked me a question, you know, just about this. And knew darn well I wasn't going to know the answer. So embarrassed.
Yeah.
That's some date in history. Thing of derelict thing. Well, I told him the answer to it all but the date. The event or whatever it was, but I couldn't get the date straight. He looked around and he says, young man, you just not very good at dates. You don't like dates, do you? I said, yes, I do, if there's some peaches along. And, that kind of embarrassed him a little. He turned red-faced. You know, he knew what I was referring to. Well, he stood, and he wouldn't have been nothing done about it. It hadn't been Frank Mills. But he pops up back there. That's right, Professor Harrison. I wouldn't let him get away with it either. I sure wouldn't. I wouldn't let him get away with talking to me like that. I'd have to do something about it. Well, that put him on the spot, and he had to send him in the office. Now, they all gathered round at noon, and I had to take a picture. I couldn't go home. Suspension. Because my daddy killed me, and I knew it. Well, the little old professor had a little stick about a little switch about that long. Hell, if you'd have knocked me out through the wall, it wouldn't have hurt.
Yeah.
But them snakes are looking through the windows, you know, and see, 9 leagues. I had to take it. I tore my dignity up. But I couldn't afford to whip old Frank Mills because he's crippled.
Yeah.
Well, they gooded me, and they gooded me, and I got a nickname around there, Peachy, for a while. That old Bob's down there, you know, and I'm getting back to, through this bunch of big mouth doing, we was doing in Chipley, and Bob down here at state meeting again. So Bob's riding around the little town of Chipley. And he's galloping, asking about me. Well, didn't nobody know me with my first name. I got an odd first name, Gorman.
Yeah, it is. I couldn't remember it.
Mm-hmm. People that put a type of an odd name on a child, I don't know why.
I think it's a nice name.
Well, it's a surname, but it's not a given name. So I've always been called by nickname.
Yeah.
Well, he stopped and was asking, that's old Darby Haynes. And I just know I could just picture him. Now, nobody knew. Oh, Darby said. I remember who you're talking about. Talking about old Pinchas. That's old Bob Meade. He can turn around, come on, never miss him. Never open his damn mouth. But come about Saturday night when we're back home, and we all out to my club, and my big mouths are running. Guess what he sprung on? Why, old Peachy. See, that's what your friends will do for you.
Yeah.
And with friends like I got, I don't need no enemies.
Yeah. They just take as public a place as they can find.
But picked the best they can find. Yeah. And waited until you can. Done waited way out on one of your tall tales.
Yeah. Well, now, who was it that drove the taxi?
That's Frank Mills.
Frank Mills.
Frank Mills still in town, I think.
Well, now, you know, a lot of good men, I guess, have drove a taxi, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they can get along on it?
You mean financially? Or
yes.
I imagine they do.
They can sort of keep up with what's going on?
Well, they get all facets of life.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
They hear it all.
They talk. They get to talk with no telling who.
And then haul a bunch of drunks around. You know, usually a drunk will hire him a cab and just ride from town from bar to bar. And they do run the miles when they get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You know, bartender is, you see, what's happened to our country, our psychiatrist is the one that's, I think they must have bought off the whiskey business, so they could do away with good bartenders.
Yes.
See, we didn't need psychiatry as long as we had good bartenders.
That's right.
But we don't have good bartenders no more.
Yeah.
We got go-go gals and even pull this on some of your kids. Shut your ears up. You know what a go-go gal is, though? It's an asset to music.
Well, look,
he'd ever seen one. He don't even know what I'm talking about.
Take
him down there at one of these wild shows.
Where about?
Oh, I know. He's anxious to go away.
Yeah, take him.
Dub steer room.
What?
Dub steer room.
Dub's
steer
room.
Have you been up North 13th?
Yeah. I've been up there to the livestock market.
No, you passed it.
You passed it.
I love to go to the livestock market because you have awful good food just two or three times a week. And all them country women come in and cook it and also serve it. And there's a right smart difference in the way it tastes from the way it's served. I used to know them down there at the livestock market. I knew the woman who run it was from out at Santa Fe there. And one season, I went in with old Earl Hill on a little crop sweepstakes.
Oh, share crop on crop sweep.
Yeah, we went in together on it. And his side made good, and mine didn't do good.
That's like my baby sister, my daddy, and the pigs. Well, he always kept up on.
Yeah.
Only blue sows had 11 or 12 pigs. So Daphne, baby sister, was tending to that pig that he'd come late or something. Was to watch those pigs. She was going to get half of them.
Yeah.
Little disease or something struck her. They worked with him, working. Every day, though, Daphne would come in and say, well, Daddy, another one of your pigs died. The one that died was his ass.
Well, Gorman, you actually have never known any niggers.
Well, didn't I just get through telling you that my life was spent with
them? But you've never mentioned one of them.
Nigger?
Not a one.
Oh, you mean by name or
yes.
Personality?
Like you.
Oh, yeah, I was afraid of. I've been in log camps with my daddy when there'd be 200 niggers in the camp and just the two of us whites. You remember the other Sunday when I was sitting here and I told you that, and this is not current, when I used to sneak around and leave the house on Sunday morning, I'd wander around in my daddy's milk water. Blacks. Little town, you know, I told you about, you know, this disgust station? There, you know where we got coffee at Horns?
Yeah.
Well, on that side of the highway, the white quarters was about where that road was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in about this big Gulf station, laying right back in there was the black quarters.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of blacks in there today.
Yeah.
Well, for the singles, of course, you had little houses. They all had nigger shanties for the married, their families. The single had a big barracks. And those niggers would skin on Saturday night. I used to lend them money when they'd go broke. If they didn't win nothing, they owed me. If they won, I had half of what they got had come in.
Oh, really?
They got half the earnings.
Oh, really? Right.
You know what skin is?
Uh-huh.
One of the fastest gambling games you've ever seen in just
really?
Nigger gambling. Oh, yeah. Better than poker.
I never heard the name.
Well, even Tennessee. Okay. Yeah. South Georgia and Florida, cross tie camp, Terrapin camp, sawmill camp.
Yeah.
Skin was a national pastime amongst the niggers.
Yes, I think I know what it is.
Well, they'd skin all night. And, but Sunday morning, yearly boy, I'd be rambling around. They wouldn't know I was around. They wouldn't know white was on the place. They used to hear them talk.
Oh.
And even back then, the dominant thought, the dominant desire, the purpose in their life is to kill every white man on the face of this earth.
Yeah,
don't kid yourself. Just don't kid yourself.
That's what you said. I remember now.
Remember.
But now, the skin business.
That's a gambling game, as I say. They'd skin all Saturday. Set up gamble all Saturday night.
Yeah.
So they'd be laying up in their bunks on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't know I'd be one. And they'd be talking amongst themselves. Not thinking there's any whites around. Over in the Negra,
but
he can be your old faithful house servant. He can be the old standby. When there's no whites around, they all talk the same thing.
Well, now, when, is that right? And when I, the game I saw them playing once, you know, they got a pretty simple mind. They don't take poker or gamble.
It takes a little more thinking.
they just take a deck of cards, see, and some of them take a few and some of them, and they sew that thing down, you see. The other sew it down together, and I don't know just how it works, but the one that's got the biggest number on it wins.
Mm-hmm. That's a pack of skin. The dealer just keeps turning a card on for each one, and he can bet. I never did know how to play it.
Yeah.
But it's a simple gambling game. It's
simple.
Fast.
Yeah.
So it's fast.
Yeah.
But they didn't play poker much.
Gorman, what about some more?
No.
You haven't had any coffee?
No. I eat too much there because you cut too much. And
got,
I don't waste food.
It's got hot now, babe.
Let me.
I didn't know he poured it in there.
My God.
I had some coffee myself.
Oh, you did?
Let me heat it up for you. All right? Now that is something. I remember.
Oh, it's airy in there.
Yep. Yeah. I can shut the door now.
Yeah, we've cooled off.
After. I don't mean in here. I meant in
well,
there.
Well, it's chilly in here, huh? He just had that stove going.
Well, I keep thinking about these old turpentine camps. See, everybody's seen them but me.
Well, you saw the last vestige of one. That's where we saw Charlie. They used to be one of the biggest in the South.
Oh, really?
But you see, they're no more, Doc.
No, not anymore.
Well, you see, this is what we can read about, but we don't hear anybody talk about.
Well, when we speaking of the past, when we speak of the past, you want to go see these things. Now, they have old relics all over this state. The old sugar mills, for example, and the old sugar plantation. They're historic shrines, like, but tourist catchers. You pay to see them. The old town of St. Augustine, when we talk of turpentine, each, you know, it used to have to be distilled.
Yeah.
But today, you ship your oil.
Oh, I see.
To a central point.
Yeah.
And the stills are big. They're enormous. We get mechanized. Then we're in the, see, we're going out of the so-called machine age, that the Industrial Revolution heralded in. And we're going into the atomic era of the computer age.
Yeah.
Now, regardless of how much we have bucked progress, that is, civilizations have, in the past,
yeah,
we've not stayed it one bit. You've never stemmed it. It's always
that's it.
Went on.
That's it. It's so much bigger than anybody.
It's so much bigger than
anybody. You can drag your feet all you want to.
And all you're going to do is wear your feet off.
Because
it's not going to hold it.
Yeah. But you've always been fairly in favor of progress.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's coming.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you see, I've always drug my feet.
It's like...
and you see what shape my feet are in.
Yeah, like cookouts. You know, are eating by candlelight and all that jazz. Now, I don't care for getting out and barbecuing or cooking stuff on a smoky grill out in the yard and having to eat a bunch of step aints and gnats and such as that. We've worked awful hard to get a good electric stove, electric light, a comfortable chair.
That's good, I appreciate that.
And why should we go out, and I'm like Justice Williams, and I go off, I like to rough it. I like to stay at Holiday Inn or Howard Johnson. This
well,
going and roughing.
I hadn't thought of it. The juke, you know, it really is just a nightclub,
eh? Well, that's, we call them jukes.
Yeah.
Every area of the country had a different name. Honky-tonks, jukes, nightclubs, spots like that. It depends on where you are as to what name. Oh, you...
I never heard a juke till I came down.
Well,
here.
That's the old...
And I have a very poor notion of a juke.
The word juke come out of Negro lingo in the South, in the Tarentine country. I'm just juke joint, where they go and juke, where they dance and cut and juke, fight.
Cut.
Oh,
yeah.
Cut and juke.
But now, in that Tarentine village, what do you call it? Tarentine village. Camp. They got along pretty good.
Yeah. They got along fine.
It was rough.
But Doc, here is the thing about it. The one thing we don't now. This is on our government HUD program and all of these, and we never learn a damn thing.
Yeah.
The people never learn anything. Henry A. Guard Wallace went over to Russia, and he came back, and he had a beautiful idea, a collective type thing. Old man J.C. Penney tried that right over here at Penny Farms with old retired preachers. But Henry A. Guard's idea, and they put a lot of it in, tried to put a lot of it in. The government sponsored it. And especially it's your national forest where you'd have a supply of labor and you needed it, and that's all it cost these people, see, what I'm getting fixed to get to. They developed them little 40 to 80 acre farms.
Yeah.
Built them a nice little home. I mean a beautiful home, too. It wasn't no mansion. They furnished it. Even grass, the yards, landscaped the buildings, had a fence around it.
I never heard of that.
Oh, yeah. I had helped liquidate one of Blackman Project.
Where was
Blackman Project, the one that was out in West Florida. They had them all over.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Okay, these families moved in. Took them out of these shanties, these things that Westbrook Pegler swung through and wrote about. You said Negro shanties, and only whites, too. Whites or blacks. It lives in Slabtown, they call it. Thinking they would be proud. They would live and love it.
Yeah.
In less than 90 days, it looked as bad as those shanties. Pigs running around on the floor, young'uns all over the place, no pants on their bottom, using the floor for a bathroom. Just exact. They wasn't comfortable. They wasn't happy.
Now, that's white people?
White or black. It didn't matter which. We had to try whites and blacks.
Well, Gorman, I think of the little 40-acre farmers or 80-acre farmers as right enterprising up my country.
Well, now, I was fixing to ask you, Doc, what section of the country? You took Sandy, you know where Sand Mountain is? In Alabama?
No.
You've heard of it.
Yes.
A 40-acre farm on Sand Mountain is equal to a 250-acre farm down here.
Yeah.
One family can't work 40 acres, so you can't cultivate.
Oh, really?
All right. And certain, now, what part of Tennessee are you from?
Well,
are you trying to locate yourself?
Well, anywhere up in there.
Anywhere up in there? Anywhere where up in there? Tennessee covers a multitude of sins.
Well, almost all up in Tennessee. But I was brought up was up in the far northwest corner.
Mountainous region up there?
No, it was just
hilly.
Hilly.
Well, you take 40 acres there, and if you had 40 acres on the top of the hill, you couldn't make anything.
Yeah.
But if you had 40 acres of bottom land where you came from, a family couldn't work it. See?
Well, when I was growing up, nobody owned the bottom land. That was the big people owned.
That's
that.
Right. That's right. That's right. But the point I'm making is one, even a sharecropper can cultivate more here than he can there because of the difference in the land.
Yeah.
You can cultivate more land in Levy County than you can right here. It's lighter soil.
Oh, I see. What you mean. Yeah.
And let's speak in terms of shanty type farmers. Pea patchers is a better word. Pea patcher applies to a small farmer.
Well, that's what you're thinking about in the 40.
Yeah, that's what he's trying to say, this little 40-acre farmer.
Yeah.
Let's say these pea patchers.
Well, now, the pea patchers I knew, Gorman, saved that, cured their meat.
Oh, sure. Well, everybody did.
They can during the summer?
Mm-hmm. And they eat good.
Yes. And the house was open underneath.
Mm-hmm. Threw cats through the cracks.
Cracks
in the top
floor.
Or bottom, but they... It was healthy.
Very healthy.
Didn't have too many clothes. They wore simple clothes. Their overalls and jumpers.
Yeah.
Or dungarees, we call them now.
Yeah.
Chambray shirts that we used to get for 45 and 50 cents a piece from Cedar Book. Now if you buy a chambray shirt, it's $7 and a half. But, Doc, times have changed.
And then it ain't
people
made of change.
No, it's synthetic. And we are not going to stay it, as I say, so if we don't get with it, we either shape up or they ship us out. Now, that's all it is. They leave you by the wayside.
Yeah.
Like the kids trying to talk, trying to communicate. And I worked quite a number of 18, 19, 20, 25, right on up. Then you start trying to tell you something, well, say this coffee cup for sort of, a handle on it. I said, Bob, if you say you know again, I'm going to knock your damn teeth down your throat. Well, I got to tell you,
that's a shabby way to talk.
Well, they don't know how, Doc. You teachers have failed to teach them how to talk. How are you going to get me excited? Why can't Sammy read?
Say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm slow in adjusting. I'm very slow in adjusting, mostly. Yesterday, I was sitting there
Gorman pulled up out there in the sun. I thought he was just sitting in the sun. I went out there and sat down a minute, and you know, he was just about to explode.
No, I wasn't about to explode,
Doc. I didn't know what it was. But he was sitting there watching all that population go by.
That's right.
And that got him. And then he saw them long haircuts where you couldn't tell male from female in the garden eating. And when I sat down there, he was just about ready.
Yeah, and you come along at the right time.
And I was feeling sorry for myself.
Yeah, I know you were.
I wasn't exploding. I was just looking for a hole to crawl.
That's right. I remember you were.
Well, you could.
Everything I had done yesterday had gone against me. Nothing was right. You see,
you got days like that.
Everything.
Oh, yeah. You had days like
that. So I was trying to catch up with Gorman, and he was talking about the reading. And you see, he got off on that subject, and that lost me.
Well, I blame
so
you.
Everything he talked about, I hadn't read, you see.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize it'd come to me. Oh, it was a long time before it come to me. It wasn't a murderous frame of mind. He was.
I wasn't in a murderous frame of mind. I was sitting right there wanting to down with that establishment over there.
That's right.
Brain factory over there that's letting all over the state, that's letting those kids get out of there. I got an old sister that I'd love to take across my lap and beat her if she couldn't sit down. Got some good friends that won't teach.
Yeah.
That won't teach. They have quit.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I was feeling down, because he's trying to teach and nobody's listening. And
nobody will listen.
No.
And he's just...
I know. I quit work on that account. I can't teach a man nothing. He won't learn.
I had just finished telling Cookie that the young people had it all their way. They had the drop on everybody.
They just had it
on me over there. I mean, they left me that morning. I just come back from over there, and they left me way up there high and dry. I could tell you how it was. Everything I said, I just felt like I could just swallow my words. And they don't do a thing. They just look at you. They just look at you. And you know damn well they don't care who what you say. And the police can't do anything with them. They got to drop on them. Everywhere they go, they got it.
All right. Why? Why? Now, I had not too long just had a session. I just went around to see Walter Beach. That's when I was sitting there. Well, John Zetterer came in. You know, you've met Walter, ain't you? He's a police lieutenant.
Oh.
Well, I had had a little skirmish the night before that had me a little disturbed. Now, Zetri is a captain of the detectives of the police department. We just sitting that bully. But I'd went around to see. I'd gone down. What night was it? It was Wednesday night. Clyde Foker and I. Hazel comes around. We all around at Joyce's house. And sitting around, bully. Hazel, her little girl, and Joyce has got a 15-year-old. And watching television part of the time and running our mouths. Well, I get up. I got to get some mail off before the thing closes. Well, I said, Virginia, come on, go with me. You can run in the post office and back, and then I want to pick up the National Observer, too. She mouthed all that, but she didn't want to. She just come in. Well, I was a little short. I said, well, you sit right there, then. We kind of related, so we can talk to each other about it. And so she said, no, I'm going to go, but she could have said, I'll go with you. I said, no, if you don't want to do it, sit down. I'll slap you down in a minute. Sure, she knew I wasn't going to do that. But I told her, no, Clyde was there. Yeah, that wasn't poker night. That was another night. They're sitting there watching some particular television. I said, well, y'all just sit right still now. And then Dawn and Cecil Hollifield come around. He's an IBM executive out here. And Dawn works at the university with George. They worked up finance and accounting. Oh, and some gal had sent, they was talking about... some vouchers they'd sent in on payments. for around the state. And the girl that sent them out had forgot, just didn't put the damn account numbers on. And I was figuring when that hit the Mr. whatever his name is, who's in charge of finance and accounting, that it was going to hit the fan. Because here these checks have gone out to various companies around the state and they don't know what to apply it to. I says, does Maxine not know? Hell yes, she knew what she ought to done. It's just pure damn carelessness. Didn't care. And Maxine's no young sprout either. She's up there. So they're bemoaning that. And it's Dawn, she's in charge of that section, see? And Maxine is under her. And now the top dog is not going to get on Maxine. Who's he going to chew? He's going to chew Dawn Olivey. Oh, she's been with him a little 10, 15, 20 years. She's no spring chicken herself, see, not that long. Dawn's been out there. Dawn's about 35. But she's been with finance and accounting ever since she was a girl. Well, that's what we had going. So I hauled britches down there to get my mail in the box. And Virginia had some letters to get off. Then I whipped back around to get to, and I'm driving Joyce's car. So I stopped in front of the... Oh, what's the name of the little old, the university newsstand down there on University Avenue? It's way downtown, you know. She gets out and runs in to get the paper, and I can't park too good because there ain't no room. And I don't know, son, I think my bumper just did touch the car along the line. They said I didn't feel it. Well, Virginia comes out, well, here's some of these damn long hairs with an old big German police dog. Now, I love dogs. It's real. I think every kid ought to have one. But you train the, now, a German shepherd, a German police is vicious. Don't kid yourself, I was raised with one. He was my dog. Rex was my dog. I could turn Rex loose on you and he'd kid you. That's all there was to it. But we kept those dogs tame. Now, here are these, they have trained these dogs around here. Well, creeps, I call them, and that's all they are to me. Damn creeps, dropouts from society. Not worth a damn for nothing. No good for nothing. Ain't producing a thing. I ain't got no respect for them. But now that dog was sitting there, and as Virginia walks out, she's looking around at this or that, and directly I holler to her, I says, Virginia, watch out there. The animal lunged at her. Well, when I hollered, see, the boy caught up his leash. If he hadn't, the dog would have cut her throat. That's all it had been to it, because he was that close to her. In fact, he bumped her and he got her back. Well, don't let me get out and get no argument when I'm that mad. Or somebody that's that careless does care no more about your person or your life than that. I'll hurt him. That's all there is to it.
And that happened right down there. Right there on there.
So the good little old gal saw right quick that. So she runs in and tells the woman. It happened to be the woman's car was sitting there, see. As these people's backed into your car and they're driving off, and I saw Virginia wasn't hurt. I didn't hear all this. This was going on there. And I saw she wasn't bit and wasn't hurt. I said, well, come on, honey, let's go. Because I best not get out. Because I would sure hurt somebody, they would hurt me. I'd shot that dog. That's all there'd been to it. Because I got out with my pistol. There ain't no, I can't fight. And I'm not going to let nothing like that. That child was all two pieces.
She knew what almost happened to her?
She sure did. Sure, when you've got something with his mouth like that and fangs that long coming right, and she's a little short girl at that. It was 2 hours before she could get her composure. You're darn right she knew what was about to happen to her. Because one swipe of those teeth, and the German Shepherd, he's bred to attack sure. To the throat. And one bite and you're through. Now that's the way they know to attack. Well, we'll get back, and so I got to thinking about it. And I said, Virginia, what was that old lady raising so much sand out? She said somebody bumped into her car and it was us, and she's writing our tag number down. I just thought to myself, oh, hell, she's just trying to get take away from that dog incident, because they're writing it loud in their building. I didn't think no more about it, but still mad. When I get on around there, it was about 11 o'clock, I called back down there. She's gone. The old man says, yeah, I didn't see the dog episode. So I wondered why all that commotion out front. I said, well, that was it. I says, well, I think she did claim there's a dent in her bumper. I mean, yeah, in a bumper. So I went back the next morning to see her and called her bitch and told her, no, she wanted to forget it. Well, I don't forget things like that. You never know when a suit's going to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather clear it. I was going to clear it
oh,
right
really?
Then.
She had you not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, well, it didn't matter. I'm not hard to find.
Yeah, I know that.
It's like I told one of my buddies down there, I'm going to take out some bed. I'm not hard to catch hold of, but I'm hell to turn loose. So of course, she won't forget it. Won't forget it. Her boss and called her and told her. After he found him out the dog, she come on out and spit, you know. She's an old shrew that works down there. She's aggravating as she can be, and everybody, I don't know her personally, but everybody else says she is. So I said, I went down to see my buddy Walter to see if she had called in. If she'd called in, it would have amounted to, if it had touched her bumper and went on, that's leaving the scene, see, which is in itself is against the law.
Yeah.
So I just said, well, I better check this out right now, just in, you know, I'm not gonna bar trouble. I can worry about it. I'll just go ahead and do something about it.
Yeah.
So I went to see Walter, and he was on the night shift. And so you check that out and see if anything come in. And it is. Let's see what to do about it. So, well, if something come in on this particular tag number, I'll just tear it up and throw it in the wastebasket. So, but it happened, so. I just figured she, but as I say, that's why I was down there. And then when Zetrow came in, Walter had bought some old records. You'd enjoy hearing them. Old Fred Allen. And I had forgotten all these quaint characters. What, Miss Nussbaum? You remember the Fred Allen show?
Yeah.
Oh, the old radio series. Old Jack Benny. Some of his old stuff. And, Senator Claghorn, and some of that back then when I said I enjoyed so much when I was a kid, and we was playing those, and that got us to reminiscing. And you see, Walter's, they won't send him out. He's the one that they will not send Walter Beach out on these disturbances, because Walter would stop it. Now, that's all there is to it. He would stop it, because we know what the score is.
Creeps.
I called him something worse than that. That would throw a rock in my car.
Yeah.
And me not done nothing to him. I'd shoot him. And if I got hauled down to the police station, now there's a man in Jacksonville. This same thing happened to him. He didn't even know the town. He's driving down the street and hearing these bunch of punk niggers throw rocks in his car. Just tore up a brand new Buick. He panicked and took a couple of shots over there. Wasn't shooting nobody in particular. But did you know they carried that man down there and charged him with attempted murder? I says, Bill Joyner, what in the hell? We've got to keep down a ride. Now, Bill Joyner used to be a good cop. Walter Beach says, no, that won't keep down a damn ride. Oh, of course, this was the charges, but that man's name was all in the paper.
Yeah.
Every bit of it. See, embarrassed, all this aggravation. Why don't you go haul that bunch of damn niggas to jail? Now, see, I was just a little bitty fella. We cured it, and they did. And if you ever heard, now, if you want to get some of those old fellas to tell you, get to talking, some of the older ones, if they will talk, about the Rosewood Massacre.
Rosewood Massacre.
That's a little town between Chief and Cedar Key. It was a Negro town. Good sized town. Nothing in it but Negro. See, this thing isn't new. That was back old when I was. I may not have even been born. My dad, yes, I was. Well, my daddy had a place, a little town called Camp of Wiley. That's in Forks of the Road. If you've been to Cedar Key, you know, where the Otter Creek Road.
Yeah.
There's a big forks there. And then from then on, there's nothing. That's the only road in and out. Incidentally, as a buy thing, here, the bank's been robbed down there for three times. And they got away all three times. They were one way in, one way out.
And they got away.
But this buck negro raped the white woman. It's a proverbial rape case. Panicked after his excitement. You know, when, as I say, your sexual, the reproductive instinct in all animals is the dominant one. It's the most strong. Well, passion inflamed, and this gal probably go into the water pump, the local, you know, even if you've never been in the Tarrytown camp, they all live in little slab shanties, whites and blacks. And she, they were going community pitcher pump. She probably slouching around flirting with the nigga. Of course, when he, when his passion has subsided, a little bit of reasoning hits him. My God, what have I done? The first instinct is to shut the mouth. Self-preservation, as Jack Kennedy told us, you find that is the most dominant part of our, of all of us, is self-preservation. He kills the girl with a hack cutter. It's the old proverbial hack cutter. That's, you know what a hack is, the thing that you pull the boxes with to make the rosin come out.
Yeah,
tree.
I didn't
you ever seen a cat face on a pine tree?
Yes.
And you've seen where they...
I've seen the boxes.
Seen the boxes hanging there. Well, that cat face, they call it. That's, well, they start, you know, very, oh, piece peeled out of the bark, maybe that wide, and the box under.
And then
well,
the hack is what to put
well,
the bark, to get the box out with?
No, no. You see, this cat face is shaped like this. I'm not a very good artist. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And your box is hung right along here. And it drips in this rosin, drains out of the tree. This scar, the cambium layer, it's cut all the way through the cambium layer. And the rosin drips into the box. Well, this has a tendency to heal over. You know, this is a piece about, she, that is cut back about that much, see. That's looking right down here, this way. You've got about that much. It's sticking past the surface, or you've cut into the tree. All right, as nature has a tendency to heal this,
mm-hmm.
It'll quit dripping. Ever so often, they come back, they got it's a piece of sharp metal. It's built this way.
Oh, yes.
They lay it up there, and they pull that scar off.
Yeah.
Start it to drain it again.
Yeah.
That's called a hack.
That's a hack.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a hack cutter is a three-sided file-like thing. Very sharp.
Oh.
It's not serrated like a file. One side is, and the other side straight. But it's what sharpens this hack. This thing is so sharp that it will just actually cut. And it's hard metal. Cut the edge of this hack. Just like that, see? Sharpen it. Well, they carry this in there. They got a little sheath and thing. The pullers, the chippers, the Cabotine niggers that walk through the woods, strippers are cutting those faces away. They can always carry the hack cutter with them. Keep their hack sharp. Well, it's about this long, and it's a lethal weapon. No kid, you say. It's lethal.
Well, now, that's something I never even heard of without going...
The hack cutter.
Yes.
See, well, that's what he killed the girl with. Well, the nigger naturally took off, and of course they get the bloodhound, and they trace him to Rosewood. Well, it's a big nigger hotel, and it says nobody lives in Rosewood but nigger.
Yeah.
It's a big nigger town. Some rich ones there. Well, they send the deputy sheriff, two deputies down after him. They know where he is. Well, Feller Anders is one of the deputies. Well, originally over in Palatka. Well, the clerk, or the owner of the hotel, wouldn't give him no in. He says, well, we know. He said, we know. It's a pimp had done told him. We know exactly what room he's in. We're going up after. Nasa says, yeah, we're going up after and get out of the way. As they turn to walk up the stairs, the nigger come to the landing and shot him. Kill Anders, and the other one got away. He just wounded him. They got him on back. Well, needless to say, that started it. The whites drifted in from all over. And there wasn't a nigger left alive in that country.
Hmm. Really?
No. They got them all. But the few went. Well, my daddy's niggers, they saved him. I know he won't, he says he wasn't.